The book of Job.
I draw your attention in the 15th chapter to the verse 11 and the first part of the verse. It is a question. Are the consolations of God small with thee? Are they? Are the consolations of God small with you? Despising God's consolations is our subject tonight. Despising God's consolations. Now, Eliphaz the Temanite, who asked this question, seems to be the oldest of that small group of comforters that now surround the sorely afflicted Job. I call them comforters because that is supposedly what they are doing, trying to comfort this man. But they're not doing a very good job of that. Job certainly doesn't think much of their comfort, because in the next chapter he says, "Miserable comforters you all are." So he doesn't think much of their comfort. And God doesn't think much of their comfort either, because God rebukes them at the end of the book. The problem is that they're in the dark about the cause of Job's trials. And unfortunately, they take the line that Job is suffering these terrible calamities because of some sin in his life. They couldn't be further from the truth, because Job is a good man, a righteous man, and he eschews evil. Job then is quite justified in despising their consolations. But nevertheless, some of the things that they did say were very good and very true. And certainly this question of Eliphaz's is, taking the words at face value as they are, it certainly is a very good question. And so that's how we want to take it, as a good question. It may be, Job, that our consolations are small with thee, but are the consolations of God small with thee? And so, despising God's consolations, the first thing that I want you to think about, among three things that I draw your attention to, is this. First of all, this question tells us something about God. It tells us something about the kind of God that he is. It tells us something about his nature. It tells us that he is a God of consolation. It tells us he's kind and most gracious and very comforting. The consolations of God. That's the kind of God he is. The consolations ooze out of him because he is a good being. Even to us sinners, in all our misery and in all our wickedness, he is a God of grace, and he has abounding consolations. Paul called him the God of all comfort, because any comfort that you enjoy, he's the father of it. All comfort that is in the universe and in this world, if anything can be called comfort, truly, he's the God of it. And are his comforts small with thee? He's the God of all comfort. On one occasion, the Apostle Paul, speaking out of perhaps some discouragement, but he said that, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us. He's a God that comforteth those that are cast down. He's called the God of patience and consolation. That's what he is. He's a God of consolation and patience. Now in this book of Job, we meet another being, the devil. The devil is cruel and malicious and most unkind. He's the complete opposite of the Lord. And in this book we meet these hard, cruel jabs from these men who are supposed to be comforting Job, and they're not doing a very good job of it. They just have these jabs and these digs. That's the people we meet in this book. And while it is true they're not as cruel and malicious as the devil, nevertheless, their cure deteriorated and it didn't amount to very much. Even Job's wife seems to lose her kind patience. For she tells her husband to curse God and end yourself of all of this misery. That wasn't much consolation. Even his wife failed to console him. So there's nobody in the book who can comfort. There's nobody in the book who has consolation. There is only one who comes out of the book untainted, thoroughly good, thoroughly kind. It's the God of patience and consolation. He is an all-surrounding comforter. He put a hedge about Job. He did remove it, it is true, for a season. But he is an all-surrounding comforter. That's the kind of God that you have, dear child of God. A God who surrounds you with comfort. David said, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Because we'd be attacked on every side. Job was like that. There was this direction and that direction. Through his family he was discomforted. And through the loss of his belongings he was discomforted. And through the loss of his health he was discomforted. But God is one who comforts us on every side. That's him. And he's a powerful comforter too. The Lord shall comfort Zion, the Bible says. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's a powerful comforter who can bring all of that out of a desert and a wilderness. And child of God, that can be your experience in this wilderness world. Surrounded by the God of all comfort, if his consolations are not small with thee, he comforts, the Bible says, like a parent. Oh, if there's anyone who can comfort us, it's a mother or a father. If anyone loves us and is gracious to us, it's a parent. And the Lord says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Isn't that wonderful? As one whom a mother comforts. I'm like a mother. I'm like a mother to my church. I'm like a mother to Zion. I'm like a mother to you, Christian. His consolations are great. Because he is the God of consolation. So we draw that certainly from this question, and Eliphaz had no doubt about that God was the God of all comfort. But then, secondly, let us consider this God's chiefest comforts to us and for us. We must know what these consolations are. We need to recognize the comforts that he gives us. And on a very basic level, he gives us what I like to call creature comforts.
You often hear from this pulpit thanks to God for his creature comforts. Comforts on an earthly level, on a material level, on a physical level. He abundantly bestows upon us all our temporary goods and all our temporary comforts, and we have many of them. All our possessions that comfort us in life, he has given them to us. All our relationships that we form that are so blessed to us, he is the creator of them. He's the one who gives us friends, and he's the one who gives us food, and he's the one who sets us in a family, and he's the one who clothes us, and he's the one who gives us the health and strength. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, because that's the kind of God he is. The comforting sun and the comforting rain are among his consolations. The Bible says, his tender mercies are over all his works. And I could speak much of those tender mercies. Tonight we had traveling mercies to this house. Today we had feeding mercies at our table. And tonight we shall go home and have family mercies as we close the night hours with our family and enjoy the comfort of the home. And we shall have sleeping mercies, for we have such a comfortable bed, and we have such blessed sleep, because he gives us that gift. He has not left himself then without witness on this earthly level. He gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, and he fills our hearts with food and gladness, the Bible says. Oh, he's so good. So there are the consolations on an earthly level. But then there are the consolations of his word. Oh, the Bible, he gives us a Bible. These are his consolations to us. It's a book of all comfort, as he is a God of all comfort. It has exceeding great and precious promises that comfort us. It has blessed commands that keep us in a comfortable path and a comfortable way if they be not small with us. The comfort of his word, everything he gives us in his word is to console us, because the word is light. And there's nothing more comforting than light. There's nothing more encourages us as the sunny day and the sun shining upon us, even though it may be cold, freezing. Ah, but the glorious comfort of a sun that shines on us. And God's words like that. Oh, this is a cold world. It's a hard world. And we've come across such coldness. Ah, but light is comforting. His word picks us up. His word consoles us. On to the upright there ariseth light in the darkness, for he is gracious and full of compassion. And the wise man said, thy commandment is a lamp. It's a lamp, and thy law is light. And its reproofs and instructions are a way of life. Oh, the consoling word of God. How much the word was needed for comfort, David knew. Oh, my eyes fail for thy word, he says. When wilt thou comfort me? He knew where it came from. And he wondered why God was so slow in bringing it. My eyes are failing for the word, Lord. The consolations of God weren't small with him, I can tell you. Do our eyes fail for the word? Or do they nod off because we're bored by the word? Did not our heart burn within us? Oh, we were so cast down, but did not our heart burn within us? How we were lifted when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the word. Oh, the word of God is his consolations to us. The very book from the beginning to the end. These are the consolations of God to you, dear soul. You have a Bible, don't you? This Bible is the consolations of God to thee. And then there are the consolations of gospel grace. The grace of God that appeareth to all men and that bringeth salvation has come. There's the consolation of a given son. The consolation of a sent redeemer. The consolation of an offered Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus is the chief consolation of God. The Lord Jesus is the greatest consolation of God. The first reference to comfort in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis. And it was Lamech who used it. Because Lamech called his son Noah. He called him Noah. And he said, for this man shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil. And because of the curse of the ground, this son of mine, Noah, somehow he will comfort us. And Noah was that. He built the ark. And I tell you, that was great comfort to those who got into it. And those who came out of it and saw the new earth. We have a heavenly Noah. Noah's just a shadow and a wee picture. We have a heavenly Noah. A greater son who was given to us. And he's the real Noah. This man shall comfort us. And he's Jesus. Christ is our Noah. And Job knows something about that comforter, that redeemer, because he said later on, he said, I know that my redeemer liveth. Even though he'd lost all his possessions and lost his family and lost his health, he still had God's word and he still had a redeemer. Jesus Christ is the chief comforter. And Satan can't take that away from you, child of God. He can take away everything else. He can take away your family. He can take away your health. He can even take away your good reputation and your name. He can do all of that. But he can't take away your comforter, Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And so the greatest consolations of God with you are an offered Jesus Christ. He's offered to you in the gospel, sinner. And that gospel comes to you. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's the consolation of God to you, sinner. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. God says that to you, sinner. That's his consolations to you. You don't deserve any consolations. Come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's the consolations of God to you, sinner. I am the bread of life, he says. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's the consolations of God to you, sinner. Noah built an ark, but Christ built salvation. And he says, it is finished. And he says, all things are now ready. Come to the feast. And he sends out his messengers and says, bid them. Bid them to come. Tell them to come. And I bring the Lord's consolations to you tonight. And I say to you, my Master calls you to come to the feast of the gospel. Everything's ready. Come to Christ. That's the consolations of God to you. Noah sent out a dove, and our Lord Jesus sent out another comforter, the true dove, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit also is God's consolations to us, his people, to guide us and to lead us. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And then among us, we have God's ordinances of consolation. We have the Lord's table. Oh, how you have found that so consoling, congregation, many times, haven't you? As he's comforted us and reminded us, this is my body, broken for you. This is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of all those vile sins. The Lord's table. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Those are his consolations to us. And then the ordinance of preaching is a consolation as well. You have a ministry. That is God's consolation to you, his flock. And then we have baptism. As we shall see afterwards, these are all his consolations. The symbol of the washing of regeneration. To comfort us. And assure us. And we have this spiritual home whereby we can come with our families into the congregation and enjoy God's consolations among us. All of these and more besides are his consolations to thee. And they're unspeakably great. None of them are small. Not even the smallest is insignificant. Because they all come from a great God. And none are small. And we don't deserve the least of them. We're undeserving of them all. You remember how the servant of God said, I'm not worthy of the least of these mercies. And it's true, we don't deserve any. We deserve hell. We don't deserve food and clothing and air to breathe and eyes to see and a spouse to love us. We don't deserve any of that. We don't deserve children to comfort us. We don't deserve a Bible and we don't deserve a crucified Savior. And so from the least to the greatest of these consolations, we deserve not one. And so none of them are small. And the greatest is infinitely unmeasurable, his own Son for us sinners. And then the last point, the sinner's vile unbelief and ingratitude that he should despise those divine consolations. And thus I draw your attention to the question again. Are they small with you? Can it be that the consolations of God that I've gone through, can it be that they're tiny? Are they so small with you? Do you remember how Moses said to Israel? He says, does it seem a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle? He's speaking to the Levites. He says, is it a small thing that he's brought you near, that he's brought you into the priesthood, that he's brought you into the tabernacle? And you Christians, is it a small thing to you that he's done this, made you priests unto God? Are they small with thee? Are all these things that I've said, are they all small to thee? We count them small, you know, when we minimize them by unbelief.
Do you look at them through the wrong end of the telescope? And they appear small and tiny. And you hardly see them, and you never even think about them because of unbelief. Unbelief is looking through the wrong end of the telescope at the consolations of God to you. Oh, don't despise them by unbelief. Don't cast them from you. Through vile unbelief and affection for the things of the world. And so we count them small when we minimize them by unbelief. And don't believe John 3:16. And don't believe in the grace of our Lord. And don't believe in Jesus Christ. And then we count them small things when we don't have any gratitude. You know, people are so unthankful today. And we can be unthankful to God. And we count these a small thing when we don't thank God. No gratitude to Him for His creature comforts. Do you not see His goodness every day? And then you count them a small thing when you neglect or despise the gospel. Maybe that's why you reject Christ. He's a small thing to you. The world's far bigger. My reputation's far bigger. And Jesus Christ, he's small, tiny.
Is that why you have no interest in the Word? It's insignificant to you. Is that what the consolations of God to you are? Are they small to you? And the offer of the forgiveness of sins and the offer of reconciliation with God that we preach on to sinners, is it a small thing to you? That God should offer you the consolation of the forgiveness of your sins? Is that a small thing? Is that, do you despise it that much? The gracious calls of the gospel to faith and repentance are a small thing to thee? Is it all nothing to thee, all you that pass by? Is it nothing to you? Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance? Are the small things to thee that lead you to repentance? Do you despise them? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'm accounted as a small thing. And so, sinner, it's a grievous sin. Repent and believe the gospel and receive its consolations, and especially receive the heavenly Noah, Jesus Christ, the Comforter, and receive the Holy Dove, whom He sends out, the Holy Spirit. And then we count these small things, these consolations of God, small things, when we do not attend upon the means of grace. People of God, I speak to you now, and not so much the sinners. The means of grace are God's consolations to you. Don't despise them. Don't despise them. Enjoy them. Receive them. And be comforted by them. And bask in them. Come to the Lord's table every month. Never go out that door. This is just a small thing. No, this isn't a small thing. It's the consolations of God to thee. How can you despise the Lord's table, child of God? And then there's the ministry of the Word. That's God's consolation to thee. How can you despise it? Don't count it a small thing. It's how God comforts you. So enjoy it. And enjoy the congregational life. And enjoy God's house. And enjoy the Sabbath. Because I tell you this, we don't have many left. So don't count them as small. So let us see God's grace, and let's think of this question, and let's answer it the way God wants us to answer it. Are the consolations of God small with thee? No. No, my Lord, they're not. They're everything to me. They're all to me. And I want more of them. And I want grace to enjoy them. And I want the help of the Holy Spirit to receive the comfort that they're meant to bring to my soul.
No, they're not small with me.
No. No, never. They're everything to me. His word is everything to me. His oath and his covenant is everything to me. His son and his blood is everything to me. And his ordinances, they're everything to me. And his word and his house and his table, they're everything to me. And especially your son, Christ. He's everything to me. In fact, he's all. What does the Bible say? Christ is all. He's all to me. Is he all to you? Or are the consolations of God just small? Not all. Small. Not all. Not everything. Small. Very little. Nothing.